You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Welcome to RJ Bell's Dream Preview, weekly winners from his Wise Guy Roundtable, broadcasting from the pregame.com studios in Las Vegas. Here is RJ Bell.
That's right. Week one, college football bowl season with my Wise Guy Roundtable. To my left, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, 11-3 on best bets in front of me in college sharp infested waters. Steve Fezzik to my right, also college expert. Ken Thompson, I'm RJ Bell. Guys, lot of love. 20-6 from the college experts. By the way, that's Brad and Ken. 20-6. And today, more action than I expected. We're going to do every bowl game starting on Saturday's bowls through next Wednesday. The next week, pod comes out Wednesday. Hey, listen early, but still, you won't have to worry about that night's games. We'll start next week on Thursday's games. And let me tell you, we have some rarities. Number one, we've got a double best bet, but actually it's a triple best bet. Triple best bet. Fezzik, Ken, and Dave Essler, who, let's be candid, his brand, his following, building, comes to town, wins a bunch of money, leaves town. I think he had like an $89 flight. Who knows? He might start coming in more and more, he said. And the VIG hated it. Oh, so many people on Twitter were saying, everyone pays the VIG on the NFL pod except Dave Essler. And everyone was laughing. Who likes bookies? Ooh, dastardly. I mean, not all of them, but some of them.
He smells.
They smell those bookies.
All that Essler does is win, RJ.
It's funny because Maddie was going like, oh, it's like it doesn't even make sense. His handicap. And it's like, yeah, not to your Vegas, not to your, it's like the great line in Sicario. Great movie.
I agree.
Have you seen Sicario?
Yes.
Great. Oh. One of my favorites. I saw it in the theater twice. I've seen it like four times on HBO. But
as you haven't seen it because it came out in the last 20 years.
But Benicio goes, what you see and what I tell you, it's not going to make sense. I think it's what you see isn't going to make sense to your American eyes. And the idea that from, and we all know this, it doesn't matter if it's America, it doesn't matter what country it is, we all have a perspective. And even within the country, obviously, different perspectives, but we have the perspective, and the perspective is something, let's see the way to say that it doesn't, it's funny. If you think back to some of the atrocities in history, right? And obviously we could think of many. Do we think all those people were evil and like somehow we're great, but they were evil? No, right? It's that at the time, all the things they saw and everything, that was the best they could do. One day, we might look back and say the fact we're eating fruit is some atrocity and we not understand that fruit feels pain. Who knows, right? And we would say it never occurred to me. And I don't even think we can fathom what it was like to live 2,000 years ago or whatever. But either way, great movie, Sicario. But I love the idea that the Vegas echo chamber And the fact, quite frankly, that Essler's out of it and he's willing to say, oh, you think this is square? Oh, you don't agree with this? I don't give a care. Let's go.
Showtime! Woo!
First game. Oh, I don't. I think I teased it, but I didn't mention it. So we had the triple like and another rarity, a best bet crossfire. Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, Mono E Mono, Utah State, North Texas, our line, Utah State favored by 8. Ken Thompson, you like the total.
Yeah, I like the over in this game, RJ. It's going to be the first of 5 bowl games coming up on Saturday. But a Utah State team, if you haven't seen this offense, you're going to have trouble stopping it. I know Matt Wells has gone off now to Texas Tech, and they'll go with an interim coach, and it's always a concern in a bowl game. North Texas as well. Mason Fine, a guy that's going to go up and down the field. I think this game's going to be very high scoring, and I just think defenses are going to be a little bit looser. It's just a game that I looked at, and right away, I didn't want to take a side. I looked at Utah State initially, and then North Texas. They haven't lost a game by more than 8. Spread was 8. So I said, you know what? Let me focus in on the total. I looked at the total and I said, you know what? This game, I see this game being in the low 70s.
All right. So under the total. And what's the best current number right now?
67.
All right. I'll check that. So, Brad, why don't you jump in on the total and then jump to the side?
Little indifferent on the total. Although I'll say this, I'm not as afraid to play. It's a relatively high total in the bowl, 67. Not afraid to play overs early in bowl games because there's not that significant time off where the offenses sometimes can get a little bit stale.
The time off affects offenses more.
It does, in my opinion, especially in today's day and age because everything's so precision timing with a lot of these pass offenses. So if you're off 2 weeks instead of 4 weeks, big difference in my opinion.
Now, Fez, because usually when there's rust phenomenons, crowd enthusiasm phenomenons, we tend to emphasize the first quarters. Do you like the idea of late bowl games looking to play under first quarters?
I do, and I also like the fact that oftentimes, RJ, bowls are higher scoring, especially the early bowls. So what happens if you sometimes...
What, is that because of lack of... Sometimes there's a lack of... Defense requires the most effort, and there's a lack of effort on D?
Yes, and these aren't...
So hold on. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, expound upon that.
The biggest games, oftentimes the teams bring the biggest effort. The game means everything and defense travels in that situation great. Whereas sometimes on offense, when a really big game, you're tight, you're nervous. Think about the Super Bowl in the first quarter when the game starts. But the early bowls, I think, are much more, I hate to call them exhibition games, but I don't see that same level of effort. And so what happens oftentimes, it seems like I'm always reading an article 2 weeks into the bowl season. Oh, all you got to do is bet over and you make money. And then all the late bowl totals start to inflate upwards. And that's the time to be contrarian and play under in the later bowls.
So think about that. A couple factors that make you think under in the later bowls. Number one is the idea of nervousness. These are big games. Number two, big games mean intensity on defense when it matters more. Whereas if you know for sure neither team's going to be intense, you want to look over because it takes more intensity to play defense. And then lastly, the idea of rust. So those are three things that all point to overs later. Unders later. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So Brad, you on the side... You lean North Texas.
Lean North Texas here on the dog. I think number one factor for me is the interim coach for Utah State in this case. It's a co-defensive coordinator, Utah State. No chance for this co-DC to get a job as far as the Utah State head coaching position goes. Utah State's already hired their head coach. So in my opinion, you might get a little bit of a substitute teacher effect here. Matt Wells has gone to Texas Tech, has taken a co-OC and a co-DC with him. So all that loss of man hours... Negative impact, in my opinion, on Utah State. Therefore, I lean North Texas.
So why not alike?
Well, because I mean, in all honesty, could have gotten a much better number. The Sharps have been over this one. Opened 11. Could have gotten 10 for a few days. Now at 8. It's pretty much all about the number, RJ.
Okay, so this is... And again, that's the catch-22 with these lines. And we said it, right? Bowl games move more than any other... sport, I would make the case. Part of that, I think, is driven by the amount of time, you know, but we've talked about it. So if you like something, you've got the ability to play it early, play it early. And I also think this is a macro point, is with line moves that are major, it's almost like you can't play either side. So Fez, think about it. this game opened 11, North Texas, down to 8. That means the pros looked at it at 11, said, gimme, gimme, 10.5, gimme, gimme. Now, different pros, maybe. We can debate who's taking, you know, if you take the 8.5, why didn't you take the 11? Okay, fine. Sometimes it's going to be their syndicates want so much money on it, they're willing to take the lesser numbers, right? If I know a line should be 20 and the line's 4, I'm going to bet it at 4. I'm going to bet it at 4.5. But usually 99% of the time, the line's not that far off. So maybe let's start with that question. Who's taking 8.5? Because no recreational batter's taking it.
Yeah, these are all pros. And I think,
so who's taking 8.5?
I think pros that have been betting the NBA, they've been betting college basketball, they're betting the NFL. We think about in terms, RJ, sometimes that we're just doing one sport. There's a limited number of hours in the day to do all this. And some of the sophisticated pros are just getting around to doing bowl betting.
I would make the case sophisticated pros aren't betting multiple sports.
Oh, I think they are. Share information.
You're handicapped. Okay, so they're not. So if that's the case, and your college guy says the Sunday night, the bowl lines come out, he says North Texas plus 11, you're going to wait a couple weeks to bet it?
No.
So the only way waiting makes... No!
Bet it now, damn it. No!
Hey, it's me, Fez! What was that? It's like he knew it sounded bad, so he went for a Mountain Dew real quick. They're like, get these. He might start doing steroid injections in his vocal cords or something. I mean, if the freaking dude can bench 200 pounds, but
there's rumors I'm on the roids already.
Well, you would love those rumors. That's the kind of rumor you'd like. But the point of fact is, the guys. It only makes sense they're just getting around to college if they're handicapping all the sports themselves.
Yes.
And I mean, as you, I think, very wisely approach it, you've got your kind of market reading you do. You've got a few spots you like to play. But otherwise, in college football, you're listening to Brad, you're listening to Ken, you're listening to your private sources, and then you're interpreting that. Right. But you're not handicapping the games. You're not originating the games.
Except for there are exceptions, but not very many of them. Yes.
So again, I'm going to ask you who that's winning. And maybe these are the duct tape shoe guys, right? And they're not winning. But who's winning and taking 8.5?
Not very many people.
Yeah. So, but let's just assume that you think the last number, because really when the number stops moving, it's the sharp saying, we no longer think there's value here. Now, in theory, if there was no VIG, you could make the case that plus 8.5 has value and plus or minus 8 has value. Because if the line's supposed to be 8.25 in between the two, you could actually, you know, very small value at plus 8.5 and minus 8, right, Fez?
Yes.
Plus 8.5 goes overtime and you can't lose.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, to me, the fact that you got to bet the minus 110 most of the time, some people have minus 105s in some spots, but let's say generally 110. What do we call break even in college through like this corridor of 10 to 8, 1.5, right?
It's got to be more than that. I don't think it's profitable to lay 7.5 and take 9.5. 8 and 9 don't land enough. All right.
So that's even more the case. So right. Let's call it generally 1.5, but these are some dead numbers.
Right.
And again, you know this better than me, Fez. So that means for you to think, okay, the sharps batted all the way down to 8. So they thought 8.5 was profitable to lay 110 at plus 8.5. For me to lay 110, line's got to get to what?
Seven.
Yeah. So it's one of those things when a line moves a lot, it's hard to bet the last number, but it's hard to go the other way because you're now fading at minus 110, a half a point away from when the sharps just laid it. Right. Mm. So the weird thing is with a big line move, it almost makes the game unbettable. Do you agree with that, Fez?
I agree.
Now in the NFL, and I think even in college, like if this baby runs to 6.5 come game day, a lot of the recreational bettors and the half sharps aren't going to say, oh, it could have been 11. They're just, hey, I like the dog here. And look, the sharps were on it. You know, I read something today that blew my mind. It was an interview with a sports bettor in Jersey. And they were asking him, I sent you a screenshot of this.
Yes.
And why don't you explain what he was saying about shopping lines?
Well, they're saying you don't really need to shop lines. You just need a book that lets you buy half points because you can get the same line as anywhere in the world. So why would you need to shop at multiple books?
Now, listen, we can sit and judge and all that. And I'm sure there's people in a lot of, you know, there's people looking at Brad's outfit right now and saying, you know, like designers in LA laugh. We all got our expertise. But I think it's important to remember the market in general has a vast majority of people. It's not thinking like we are. And that's why I really believe if all you get out of the Dream Preview is every half point matters, shop lines, you know, that kind of thing, all the others, that's 80% of it. It really is low. You know, make sure you don't bet too much per game. Don't bet too many TV games. Shop your lines. That's 80% of the value.
And you know, one thing I want to bring up to people, because I get this question all the time.
Or maybe more than half, but yeah, I think half or more.
Clients ask me this all the time. I'll give out a release at plus five. Say, I really like this game. And then the line goes down to 4.5. And some clients have asked me, Fez, I should get your number, right? I should buy that half point up. And I say, look, I think it's fine. I give a price sensitivity. It's fine to play this plus 4.5, lay $1.10. What you can't do is to buy a half point on a crummy number like five that doesn't land very often and pay an extra 10 cents.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they are selling you, except for the rarest of exceptions, they are selling you half points at a premium. So think about it like anything else. I want to buy this pass to the buffet and it's, I can go the whole month for, do the math. And if they're selling it to you at a premium, you don't buy it. If they're selling it to you at a discount, buy it. Right. And if a number, the only thing I don't even know if there's any set, does anyone sell seven for a dime anymore, Fez?
Yes, in very rare places.
Because that used to be very common.
And you know, some the place I know of, it lets you buy onto the seven and not off of the seven. Their logic being, RJ, oh, well, if it lands on the number, you'll push, you won't win. Well,
and actually, you think about it, if you can avoid, but in a weird way, that's more valuable.
Because save you're saving a dollar ten
instead of winning a dollar.
And back in the old days,
so just to be clear, buying onto three is worth slightly more than buying off of three.
Yes, and buying onto an integer is almost always better than buying off of an integer.
Yeah. So listen, if you're not buying seven for a dime, or you're not buying three for 20 cents, which is anywhere doing that now?
There are still a few places, but that's break even to buy.
That's what I'm saying. But if you like it.
Right. There's a little protection. Two and a half to three.
You're not losing anything there.
Yes.
In NFL.
Yeah.
Forget it in college.
College is only worth
it. Otherwise, don't buy half. But what I'm saying is how crazy it is. I don't need a shot for this because I can pay 10 cents for it. It shows you the price sensitivity of most bettors is almost nil. And in a weird way, we should embrace that.
Right? Yes.
Pregame.com, RJ Bell with the Wise Guy Roundtable. Any closing thoughts on North Texas, Utah State?
No.
Tulane, UL Lafayette. Tulane favored by 3.5. Fez, you like it.
Yeah, I like Lafayette plus the 3.5. I was looking through Lafayette's schedule, RJ. Frankly, I'm shocked at how difficult it was. They had to play at Mississippi State. They got crushed. At Alabama, they got crushed. And they had to play at App State, who's a really good under-the-radar team twice. They lost both those games against App State by 10 and 11. But you got to play four games against premium opponents on the road. It is going to skew your stats year-to-date big time. And I'm going to make the case that based on that schedule, I think Lafayette a little bit underrated in the statistics.
You lean that way, Brian.
Yeah, I lean towards the Lafayette side plus the points here. Both teams are very similar. They're very run-oriented. Both like to run more than 60% of the time. So to me, when you're running the football, it's all about sustaining drives. Huge advantage for UL Lafayette here. They're on third down as far as their converting percentage, number 10 in the country. Tulane on third down on offense, number 113. I trust Lafayette to be able to have some more success on the ground. Therefore, I like the Raging Cajuns. Lean Raging Cajuns.
All right, Ken, you lean the other way.
Yeah, I lean Tulane. I just like the core. I like the coach. I like the team. I like, you know, I, It's one of those bowls, RJ, that I looked at and I said, man, this is a coin flip game. But when in doubt, I'm going to go with the team that is playing the best ball right now. They've won four of their last five, the Green Wave. Got a couple quarterbacks. Banks is probably going to be able to go, but you got McMillan and Banks, and both guys are adequate. So, I'm just going to lean there. Again, there's nothing great about this game, and that's why it's one of the two leans out of the seven games that I had.
Next game, Eastern Michigan, Georgia Southern. And we got Ken. We're staying with them, liking something.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Georgia Southern. I really like the way Shea Wirtz runs the offense. This guy is dual threat. He doesn't throw the ball too much, under 1,000 yards, but 10 touchdowns, RJ, no interceptions. That's, when you're running that option and you're able to, be perfect as far as throwing touchdowns, that's pretty good. And you got Fields, you got Garrett, you got Kennedy, you got Wright, you got four guys that are going to help him out running the ball down the throat of Eastern Michigan. Again, in the MAC, where are you seeing this type of offense? You're really not. And so I think it's an efficient offense. It's a well-coached team. It's a team that takes advantage of turnovers, plus 22 turnovers. Again, a lot of people look at turnovers and go, well, that's what you're standing on. Turnovers are lucky. Not when you have 27 of them and you've only given up five. Eastern Michigan's pretty good. They're a plus 10 on their turnovers as well. They're a team that's played well inside their conference, and they're a hot team. They've won five of their last six games. But to me, Georgia Southern, they're like a machine. They're just going to go up and down the field. They're going to run that offense. They're a team that can take care of business, and I think the Eagles are going to roll in this game.
I disagree with Ken on the turnovers.
Which Eagles?
Oh, Georgia Southern. Yeah, good, right. Good call.
I disagree with Ken on the turnovers in the following way. I agree with him that sometimes there's going to be elements of skill, and obviously, especially with quarterbacks throwing interceptions or not, that affect the net turnover margin. But I think that whatever luck there is, and it's significant, is fully accounted for. Meaning, if a team is minus 22 in turnovers or plus 22 or whatever, some extreme number, their record is pretty much going to be tethered to that number. You can't win. And it's the rarest of cases you can win turning the ball over a bunch more than your opponent. You're going to lose when you turn the ball over a bunch. You're going to win when you don't.
Right.
Otherwise, that's where the games get exciting, where it's about the same turnover, maybe one way or the other. So if a team is like super positive in turnovers, you're right, Ken. There's a lot of their wins they deserve, but there's going to be some of those wins that were the good luck. So, Fez, this is something we've been debating for years, is luck, skill, turnover. To me, as I keep thinking about it, it's like all of the results of every one of those turnovers that a team is, let's say, plus, help them win games. Like, not every individual one, but you add them all up, it all helped them win games. Even if only a third of it's luck, then those wins make the team overrated by that amount.
Agreed. And I think you've got to look at some teams like Alabama, for instance. What do we expect their turnover differential is going to be at the end of every year? Probably plus one per game, just because they have such better athletes. But I think that that's the exception. Most teams, we'd anchor what we expect their turnover amount to be closer to zero.
Except I think if you have an option team that's hardly throwing the ball. Yeah. Like there's going to be, how aggressive are you on offense is, I think, going to be the main driver. And how good your quarterback is.
And RJ, you would think element of surprise. In other words, they're running the offense so effectively that for the guy to have 10 touchdown passes and no interceptions, that there's nobody looking for the pass when he's throwing for that touchdown pass.
No, it's true. I think as time has passed, the idea of run the ball a bunch but be super effective when you throw is maybe a little outdated in general. But I think the concept, I'd rather do that than be a bad passing team. It just strikes me the best passing teams are better than the best running teams these days, because the rules are tending towards making it easier to pass.
Yep.
And I do think, and again, not that I'm an expert at this, and Brad, a lot more than me, but just the 7-on-7 stuff. We're getting to the generation now where these kids have been playing football 12 months a year and throwing. Think of what practice was like in football. Like, watch the movie. If you're in your 40s or older, you've probably seen it. And if you're younger, it's on cable a couple times a month, All the Right Moves. Right? What was it? 6'2" stack monster. Is how much were they passing in those practices? Right? Rifleman, how much passing time did he get? Right? And just knowing with me growing up, there wasn't a lot of passing going on. Now, They're passing all day, all night. It's like the kids, think of soccer. Why isn't America great at soccer or the U.S.? It's our kids aren't walking down the street at 8 years old with a soccer ball. And in Brazil, they are. And now it's like, why weren't the teams in the 80s great passing teams? Because they weren't living day to day, pass, pass, pass. Now they are. You agree with that, Brad?
Absolutely.
All right. What do you think in this game?
Lean on the Eastern Michigan side. You're talking about Georgia Southern's option. I think an advantage Eastern Michigan has is they faced the option earlier this year in Army. And I get it. They gave up 37 points. But a lot of that was, you know, due to turnovers and Army hitting some big plays. But really, when you look at the main factor in stopping the option, looking at Army's rush stats, Army only had 4 yards per carry. It sounds maybe like a lot. That's actually second lowest total for Army this year in their 12 games. So Eastern Michigan, for the most part, did the job in stopping the option. Now you got extra time to face an offense that you already saw this season. I'm going to lean on the Eastern Michigan side. And the turnovers, I do think, make Georgia Southern overrated. How do I know that? Here's a 9-3 team that's getting outgained on the season. To me, you know, say what you want. They're not going to commit as many turnovers because they're not throwing. But I still think, generally speaking, Georgia Southern's overrated at 9-3.
Let me ask you just one question. Who would you take on a neutral field? Would you take Eastern Michigan or Appalachian State?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'd take Appalachian State.
Okay, well, Georgia Southern did away with their great defense.
Oh, my. They're plus 4 or 5 turnovers in the game, and Appalachian State were playing a backup quarterback in his first game.
Why is that not part of the game, RJ? I don't get that.
What game?
If you take 4 or 5 turnovers away from one team, evidently, you're creating the turnovers.
And listen,
backup quarterback in his first start? Get out of here.
Well, first of all, Brad.
I'm making this a like. You want to make it a like? We'll get a bet.
Let's get something. Hold on. Ken is like so in the right here, right? Not about the handicap. I don't know enough to say that, but Ken's here liking. That means he's inviting any one of us to bet him. There we go. There we go. There are some balls. I mean, I was going to play the suspense with Brad. But he finally had some ball. I mean, you can't be that adamant his pick is wrong and not bet him. It was almost like you were just redeeming yourself here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who's quarterbacking for Eastern Mich?
Tyler Wiegers.
You think so? Because Glass might play. So I didn't know that both quarterbacks are listed as Glass was actually, and he would be, because he's a dual threat, he would be the guy that probably gets it if he's able to go.
Fair enough.
So what's your point?
No, I'm just saying he doesn't even know who's quarterbacking for a team he's betting on.
In a weird way, you got to give him more credit.
Why?
Because he's got balls.
Well, you put it as a lean, and then he's just doing it just because I don't know, just to argue. And then he gets, I don't know.
You know what it could be? Is Ken's a little behind you on your best bets. And maybe
it's only because he has 2 games more that he bet. We both have, I'm 9-3. He's 11-3.
Which is better?
So he must have two bets. Yeah.
I mean, no one's mad at you over it, but come on. He does have the better record. And I think I love it. I love that these guys are 20-6 and they're fighting to be number one.
It's a beautiful thing.
Because the West Virginia game that I ended up giving out at 3.5 was 2.5 on Tuesday, I guess. And then that's the only thing. Otherwise, I should be 10-2. There you go. We're good.
I mean, usually Fez gets that music. You know what this is like? This is like when you have 2 thoroughbred brothers. Like one brother's a year older and they're both like, you know, and they're just competitive. They're going for the same girls or going for the captain of the football team. And who benefits? In that case, the dad, he gets his boys competitive. In this case, it's the listeners. All you out there, you got Ken grinding. He's got like 20 pages of notes. Brad's grinding and they're all part of the fan. In fact, this is the perfect time. I had a little special coupon ready. Let's do it right now. Here's what I'm going to do for you guys in honor of the intensity of these guys and how optimistic I am about their college bowl season. All right. So we got a bowl package up right now. Now this baby comes down on Friday. Let me confirm that. Give me 1 second here. Yeah, through Friday. You can get every pick from Ken Toms. Everyone through the bowls, 149. You want Brad Powers, 149. I'm going to do two things for you. I'm going to put them both together for 249. Get Brad, get Ken, get them both. Every pick, 249. And I'm also going to give you a coupon, Bowl 10, BOWL10. So all caps, BOWL, the number one, the number zero. $10 off of anything. So if you just want to cherry pick a pick, get it. That's fine. And if you want to take advantage now, imagine this. You're getting $50. First of all, the 149 price goes up Friday. This is like the early bird. Now you're getting $50 off that if you get both of them. The guys that went 20-6 in front of you, in front of the world. And then you can get $10 more off or use that 10 for anything. So bowl 10 on anything, $10. Get Ken 149, get Brad 149, or get them both 249. That's how daddy tells the boys, good work, fighting hard. No blood, no foul. All right, anything else in this game? Next game. Oh, Brad, I had a question for you, an open question. Back in the day, handicapping 101 was quirky offenses aren't as effective in bowls because the opponent has time to prepare. Are there any quirky offenses left other than the option? Meaning, since almost everyone is some type of spread, and if they're not, they're pro set. So
yeah, maybe Washington State, Leach a little bit.
But he's still just a variation of the air raid, right?
Pretty much. Other than the option, no really quirky offense left.
But in general, part of your handicap here, if I heard you right, was Eastern Michigan had played the option this year.
Yep.
And they have extra time.
Yep.
So in general, compare that to a midseason game where you don't play, haven't played the option this year and usually don't every year, let's say it's out of conference or whatever, and you only have 1 week to prepare. Two ends of the extreme on prep. You're like, that's why I bet it.
Good luck, Ken.
Well, first off, Ken's the one that came. You're the one that came in with a weak, a limp wristed lean.
I needed an extra leg.
Next up, UAB, Northern Illinois. UAB 2.5. We got a triple like on this one. Let's let Fez start it off.
Yeah, I like UAB. This is a 10-3 team that I would argue really is a 10-2 team. They had one game at Middle Tennessee State, and that game meant nothing. They were in the conference finals already, and they mailed it in, RJ. They got 3 points in the first quarter, and they just shut it down, went totally vanilla, got smashed, lost the game 3-27. And then the next week played Middle Tennessee State for the conference title and won that game at MTS State. So I would argue that one game has turned a UAB 11-2 team into a 10-3 team and ruined their stats. I like UAB.
Ken.
Yeah, I'm going with UAB. And Matty Holt last week, he was our guest over here for the college play, but he made a lot of good points. And this is a UAB program that, you know, wasn't even around a couple years ago, brought the program back. And this is big time for them. I mean, to win their conference and now to get into a bowl with some momentum. I mean, good solid coach. And they're hoping that this guy sticks around because this guy's going to have a lot of job opportunities. And, you know, I just like the way this Blazer program's going right now. Northern Illinois, when I watched them play in the MAC championship game, look, it was one of the most fortunate comebacks against a dynamite Buffalo team that really gave the game away. Buffalo was up 29-10, squandered an extra point, and it came back to bite them. They end up losing the game down the stretch and a game that they should have had. But, you know, Northern Illinois, they're known for defense. We saw them going to Provo, a 7-6 game against BYU. I think they're going to have trouble scoring against UAB. I think UAB is going to take care of business. I like it a lot.
Now, was this Matty Holt's early pick?
This was Matty's early pick, yes.
And it was his best bet.
Yep.
So this is a quadruple best bet, Brad Powers.
Yeah, I like UAB. And to me, it's more of a fade against Northern Illinois and their head coach, Rod Carey. 0-5 straight up in bowl games, 0-5 against the spread. To me, I get a 5-game small sample size, but the margin is so significant here that Rod Carey might just not know how to prepare his team for bowl games. Outscored by 25 points per game, failed to cover the spread by 18 points per game. None of those 5 games were they within a touchdown of the spread. I'll fade them again here. Give me UAB minus the 2.5.
Okay, now is this a situation? I should press the button. Now, is this a situation where we bet it early no matter what? Because one, early because lines tend to get sharper. So if you're right about your pick, it's probably going to move against you more times than not. But number two, it's what the hedge fund guys call asymmetric risk. Whereas if it gets to three and you're laying it, so much worse. What do you have to lose? You might have to lay three. What do you have to gain? You lay two instead of 2.5. Fez.
Yeah, I love that asymmetric risk. Absolutely. If you like a game at -2.5, what are you waiting for? Who cares if you could have gotten -2, right,
RJ? If you knew you were going to get it.
Yeah, you'd rather lay two. You'd rather lay one, but it's unlikely to land one or two. It's much more likely that the game's going to land three than it's going to land two, one, and one the other way combined. So absolutely play it now.
Next game, OU, Ohio University, San Diego State. Shout out to Megs County. Did they talk about Megs County where you came from, Brad?
No. I just knew Halloween was big there on that campus.
RJ, is that Athens? Okay, yeah. So my nephew just graduated there last year. This is the classic story because you're an Ohio State guy.
Yeah.
So my sister drives from Jersey to go pick up my nephew Stefan to see his guys and going to take the guys out to dinner from his.
So it's a Jersey boy that went to OU.
Went to OU, wow. Yes. And so the guys are there and she had dropped him off at school when he started. And so he's waiting and he goes, "All right, Mom, I thought you said you're here." She said, "I am here. I'm over by the football field." He goes, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll be right out then." He goes, "Mom, where are you?" He goes, "It's not that big of, you know." And she goes, "I'm right here, Buckeye Boulevard." she was at Ohio State, 2 hours away, and all his buddies that were waiting for my sister to get there to take him to dinner. They're like, "All right, see you later, Steph. See you later, Steph." And they're all, but that was like the classic. She's in Columbus instead of Athens.
Well, listen. When I was growing up, Meigs County was famous for their weed, I guess you'd say. I don't know if it's still the case, but you'd often hear, I heard rumors about this. It'd be, this is Meigs County's finest.
Scarface on repeat, constant, y'all.
All right. So, Fez,
what do we got?
You thought the tension? Just beginning. In this corner, he's combative. He was a boxer in the Navy. Amateur. Ken Thompson. In the other corner, not a lot of confidence in the colleges, but somehow he keeps betting. Steve Fezzik. Fez, it's a road game for you, as Avon said. Avoid those road games. You go first.
This is RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Now back to RJ Bell's Dream Preview.
I go first, and I like San Diego State, and I do have a lot of confidence with this pick, RJ. Had a little conference.
You might want to start handicapping.
So. Let's do it. So San Diego State has held every opponent all year long to 31 or less points. They have an enormous edge on defense here. And look at the schedule this team has played. At Stanford, Arizona State, at Boise, at Nevada, at Fresno. Some really good teams. None of them have had great success against that San Diego State defense. Contrast that with the Ohio defense, which gives up 26.5 points on average. The two toughest teams Ohio played all year long. Two toughest games at Virginia and at Cincinnati. A huge edge, San Diego State D.
That wasn't much of a handicap, was it, Brad?
No.
Is this just one of those games someone gave you?
Maybe.
I feel a lot better about that. Ken Thompson.
Here's the thing with San Diego State. Their offense is an absolute joke. Doesn't matter who quarterbacks, whether it's Agnew, the freshman, whether it's a senior in Chapman. They rely on the running game. And Juwan Washington missed some time. Jasmine stepped in. They have one receiver, Trevilian, that's pretty good. 27 yards a carry, but he only has 22 receptions on the year. This team struggles to score. So their defense might be good, but you got to score points to win. Enter Ohio with a solid quarterback, a dual threat in Nathan Rourke. Guys, rush for 13. He's thrown for 22 more. And then you got dual threats in the back. You got two guys in the backfield, Olette and Irons. These guys over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns between them. Pappy White will be the best athlete on the field. And I know Juwan Washington's good, but Pappy White's a dual threat. This guy can receive it. He can run it. They've got Meyer, Odom, and Cox. I'm telling you, this team, Ohio, they will score points. And Solich has been there. Now, he's not the greatest bowl coach. He's 5-9. But at the end of the day, I like Solich. I respect Rocky Long, but I think this San Diego State offense is probably the worst that he's had in probably the last decade.
I got to be honest with you. I read Ken pretty well. I don't think he's so confident right now.
I'm very confident, RJ.
See, but now he's saying he's confident, which makes me think he's not.
Here's the thing. I promise you that hit the buzzer, man.
Listen, Ken, I will say this, Ken. I have a couple options here.
Okay.
One, if I want to put you on tilt, I would wait and say, Brad, whatever you say, if you go against Ken, but I know what he's going to do. So I would just do that to put you on tilt. I usually want to put other people on tilt.
Yeah, no, I'd be interested to see what Brad
you on tilt.
No, I'd be so, to see where Brad is.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Unless if you ask me nicely, I won't press the button. Otherwise I'm going to press, but I'm going to let you decide.
No, I want you to do what you want to do, RJ. There you go.
Oh, I thought Brad, you were reaching for the button.
I might.
I will take Ohio against San Diego State all day and twice.
Well,
on
you've
Thursday.
Got 400.
Yeah, well, if it's 600, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Go for it. My God, I don't think you guys have watched San Diego State.
Malachi Crunch.
Oh, I know I haven't watched it.
I know, exactly.
That's the best bet of the year.
And I know Fezzik hasn't watched him, so.
All right, Brad, bring us home.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the San Diego State side, obviously. Here's what I've seen from San Diego State, Ken, and I agree with you. Offensively, terrible this year. And where do we see that show up? When San Diego State's laying points, they can't extend margin against anybody. In fact, San Diego State 0-8 as a chalk. Last I checked, they're getting points though here, Ken. And what did they do in the underdog role this year? Cover against a very good Fresno State team. Beat Arizona State outright. Arizona State's pretty good. Win on the blue turf in Boise with that pathetic offense outright. The one thing Ohio does really well, run the football. Well, that's San Diego State's strength on defense. Number 4 in the country in run defense. Give me the Aztecs. We're buying them low. 1-6 against the number. Last 7 games, close the season. We're buying the Aztecs low.
Losing to UNLV at home. I mean, talk to me about San Diego State. This is a team that played their best ball early in the year. So good luck, you guys. All 3 of you are going to need it.
You know what I love, though, is that there's no vig. Like, to me, when you're laying the 110, everything's got to be right. Here, if I just think we have a plus 102 edge, it's worth betting.
Absolutely. And a little line move projection. I'm do more of this, obviously, in the NFL than in college football. But I would be very surprised if this spread doesn't drop from 3 down to 2 later in the week.
Mm. Now, is this because you're giving it out right now?
No, that would just be a blip on the great line move overall.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper.
RJ, I will
tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country.
Ken's like, Ken's going to like scream over the
Ace Rothstein. Are you kidding me?
That's my drop.
Talk over De Niro and Casino.
I will just
get
say that
here.
I'll have.
I'm glad I got bets against you now.
I think I'll have a little better. Crowd participation as well. Trust me, people will make the trip from Ohio U. I think there'll be maybe 7 or 8 people from San Diego that are going to go to Frisco, Texas.
That's what's fun about the no vig, though. And guys, that I don't know. How would people do it? I guess just get with your buddy. Like, I guess I could replicate this experience. You know, I've actually read about, and we've got only 2 games left. By the way, a Crossfire Best Bet, Auto 500 and a triple like. I mean, talk about a way to finish a show. Last 10 minutes, action packed. But a quick story. Fez, you probably know more about this than me. I think it was Chip Reese. We were talking about him earlier. There was some deal where they were using the newspaper line. This is like the poker players in the early 90s, maybe. But a guy had to bet 3 games a week or 3 games a day. Now I think about this, it might have been in that one-of-a-kind book about Stu Unger. But the theory was that the guy, it was some, they were playing with Novig, but it was, but Stu had to bet three games a day. So the theory was, on one hand, there's Novig, but on the other hand, you got to play a little more volume, and it was a trade off.
Well, if there's Novig, you could play the whole board though.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're, so you're saying if you have an edge even on a handful of games and all the other games are a coin flip. Yeah. That's interesting. If I told you, you got to pick every NFL side from the bookmaker line, and the bookmaker line isn't going on 101s or, you know, 107. So it's going to be half points. Every game all season, would you lay 103?
Yes.
So you could beat 103.
But not 105.
See, that's interesting. That is interesting. So something we got to brainstorm on. What could some of the listeners, because in theory, maybe they could just do it blind, is you got to pick five picks amongst these. Maybe we'll put the games out we're going to do. You know what we could start doing next year? We could put the games out we're going to do like on Monday. And then other groups can start having their fun where they all got to submit five picks before Wednesday to each other. Right. So I guess in theory, there'd be a impartial third party that would receive them. And wherever there's the overlap, you've got to bet, and you bet each other no vig. So there's 15 games. Let's say you got to pick five. You're probably going to get two. If you have like three or four people playing, you're going to get, you know, five crossovers a week, and make it for whatever you want. It could be $20. It could be.
You're making a case for why a betting exchange could be enormous one day.
Yeah, but you know what? I was talking to a guy that understands the European stuff, but better, you know, in my, from what I can see, better than anyone. In fact, I'm going to give him a little shout out here in a second because he runs a business too. He knows Matty Holt, and he's a famous poker player. This guy actually won at the time the WPT. It was the biggest prize pool in the history of poker. And his name is Martin D. Kniff, K-N-I-J-F-F. How would you say that? Kniff?
Kniff, like Knish from Rounders.
Boy, you. I mean, it's like you're like, you know how like a grandfather, when you just hope they understand what you're saying. And then if they say something like, he's Italian. It's like, boy, I'm hungry for pizza. It's like, there's like a vague connection. And why would you say that? Because the names sounded the same.
Yeah. How many names start Knip? Knip, Knop.
I play for money. My kids eat.
There you go. All right. Anyway, his Twitter is, oh Lord, MDKENT. Then it looks like, wait, no, it's MDK Entrepreneur. So MDK. So that's his initials, MDK Entrepreneur. And, he knows his stuff though. Oh, geez. They were, I'm not sure how much of his bio, but he was part of a big batting group back in the day and really knows the European market. And his point to me was the exchange time has come and gone. Because if we're moving towards 70% in game, you can't do that on an exchange, right? I mean, it's so fast. How do you do it?
Yeah.
So someone's got to be a market maker.
And it's a nightmare. Someone puts up an offer and then they don't take it down. And then there's a 40-yard pass and their order gets filled and they get crushed. And
plus, the in-game's moving more towards, is this going to be a run or a pat? I mean, like this idea of betting the game again and again within the game, how long does that go?
Oh, I think it goes a long time.
Well, what I'm saying is it might be a nice chunk of today's market, but once you can bet everything, what percentage is just rebetting the game going to be?
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it will be a... Well, again, I think Europe is 10 years ahead. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to have him on with Maddie and do a roundtable come February. And about the future of sports betting and the regulations and such. By the way, if you're not, now that we're moving towards post football, we're going to have surprise guests. I got a big name, quite frankly, almost locked in. And subscribe. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. And, you know, usually I would do a commercial here, but next week or tomorrow's NFL is so big, I'm going to make this baby commercial free. And let me talk just for a moment about next or the NFL. So Fez, it was that hail, not a Hail Mary, but we had a good week in the Super Contest. 4-1, me, you, and Maddie on the podcast. We picked the games live and, or I guess in front of everyone. And then we submit $5,000. Winner takes 640. Winner takes all. 640,000. One person's ahead of us by one game.
It was moving week and we moved up.
We moved up. And then there's three people tied with us, right? There were two. And then one guy went 5-0 behind us. And then a lot of people dropped. So in a weird way, we not only have moved up, but it's thinned out.
Right there, RJ. And for all the listeners out there, here's how the process works with the sausage. Maddie Holt and myself, we text RJ 60% winners every Friday night. And then this season
it's been 60. Let's not act like that's easy.
And then RJ reaches in and takes those cumulative 60% winners and turns it into 65% winners by eliminating the lemons.
It's been good. I've been on it. We had four underdogs. They all four won outright. It was like we were laughing, making this. It was an old ESPN shirt. It said, "The simplicity of this game amuses me. Bring me your finest meats and cheeses."
You could argue that we were very unlucky. We really had a great chance to be 5-0 last
week. Buffalo looked good. But the good news is our next pick was a loser. I was betting the Bills no matter what. The pick that was the one I would have swapped out, either Minnesota or Chicago, which we would have obviously, I didn't like many, but you did, I didn't like Chicago, but you did. So, you know, it could have went either way, but we would have taken the Browns out. That was our fifth pick. Because remember, you actually liked Carolina. But then the more we looked, the more you thought about it, and then we heard about Cam Shoulder.
And the coaches, disruptions.
Yeah, it really did. And then we ended up getting real value. Now, the line ended up moving back. I guess maybe the market thought there was a real chance Cam wouldn't even start. Because on game day, it moved back to Carolina 1.
Carolina won the overall yards once again and lost the game.
All right, boys. So here's the thing. One, you're seeing, I mean, imagine the Super Contest gold winner. And right now, and the rumor is, and we'll see, I'll tell you tomorrow, one of the online sports books reached out and they're going to put up odds on who's going to win this because we're involved, right? Because, you know, there's a general interest, I guess. And from what I gather, I think we're going to be favored, even though we're one game back. So that'll be fun. We'll announce that tomorrow if it's out. But also, we've announced this before, $25,000 cash. This isn't Tony Soprano style. It's going to one of my company. $25,000, we're throwing a Super Bowl party. And here's the way the invites are going to work. The invites are going to be, we're going to give it out on podcast. We're going to give it out on radio, give it out on Twitter. You go to a specific thing and there's going to be a set amount of tickets, but it's going to be in the thousands. I mean, think if we have 1,000 people, we're spending $25 a person, right? Do the math. And Super Bowl party here in Vegas. So if you live in Vegas, easy enough. If you're coming to the Vegas for the Super Bowl, easy enough. If you're thinking about coming to Vegas, this is that incentive. And obviously there'll be a bunch of weeks between us winning it, potentially, and the Super Bowl. So Fez, we're going to the Super Bowl and Brad for Fox. I mean, imagine that week. We won the Super Contest. We're down there hobnobbing with Bradshaw and the other Fox guys. Well, probably not, but still. And maybe me, but, you know, very unlikely you, I think, Fez.
You're going to have him show you how to hold the football with the finger on the edge of it.
That's true. And then we come back here for our $25,000 party.
That's a good week.
That's what we're doing, guys. So listen, if you listen to the NFL, great. If you don't, this is the week to start. Subscribe. And here's the thing. And this is the last thing, and then it's blossom time. The bigger this party can get, the more we can provide you. Now, wait a minute. You're saying, RJ, if it's 25,000, it's going to be divided by the people, you know, participating. That means less shrimp if more people come for me. Well, okay, I hear you. But here's the difference. I've already had two different properties here in town reach out and say, hey, we'll give you the sweetest of the sweetheart deal if you can get X number of people in here. Because for them, the theory is we're going to be talking. Come on. We're throwing a $25,000 party. We're going to be talking about it on Fox every day. So they figure it's advertising expense. So if we can show them, hey, look, our last week's pod had 450,000 listeners instead of 350. All of a sudden now they give us a sweetheart deal for a bigger room. And now we got more money to spend on the shrimp and the booze. So do the simple math. If there's ever a time, if you got a friend that you think or friends or your followers on Twitter that you think might like what we do, and you guys, your support is how we've quite frankly been able to grow. So thank you. Thank you. Now is an opportunity. Tweet it out. Do whatever. Tell your email, text, smoke signal, whatever, and let them know. Because the more people we get listening for these last couple of weeks, the bigger the party can be, because we're going to have more leverage with one of these casino/hotels in town. All right, two games left.
Don't know about the future. That's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Fire up your pad and pencil. I give you a piece of my mind.
All right, well, it's Brad's best bet. And it's a crossfire.
Yeah, I'm going to take in the New Orleans Bowl, Middle Tennessee +7. To me, the number one factor is a fade against Appalachian State. That's Middle Tennessee's opponent. Why? App State's got that interim coach. And you take a look at what App State's dealing with from a coaching aspect. They lose their head coach, Scott Satterfield. They lose their co-offensive coordinator. They lose their defensive coordinator. They lose their strength coach. It's one of those early bowl games where you don't have a lot of time to prep. That, therefore, losing a bunch of those guys in that man hours is going to, in my opinion, magnify itself. Taking on a Middle Tennessee team led by a head coach who's coaching his eighth bowl. Significant coaching edge to Middle Tennessee. And I talk motivation here. Middle Tennessee, father and son. Last time, son plays for dad. A four-year starting career for Brent Stockstill, the quarterback for Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee brings the emotion, just like they did against the Sun Belt team last year. Middle Tennessee +7, best bet.
Fez.
I'm on App State. This team is undervalued. They're 10-2. They only have two losses. I'm aware the coach is heading for Louisville, but let's look at their two losses. They lost in overtime at Penn State. Pretty good team. And they lost at Georgia Southern, where they had a -5 turnover differential. So I would argue this team could have run the table and been a 12-0. Middle Tennessee State, this is a team I followed closely because it was my one college football season win that I bet over, and I got there. And the reason I got there, we talked about this game already, UAB, Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State wins that game 27-3 when UAB just mails it in. When UAB shows up, UAB beats them in their own house. Appalachian State's better than UAB, I would argue. Appalachian State gets the win. They get the cover.
All right, guys. Here's what we need to do. The line's between 6.5 and 7. And we actually had 6.5 in the report, but I'm not exactly sure when you guys are seeing that number. So I'm going to make an executive decision is, and you guys can decide between these two. It's either going to be 6.5 and then Brad's +105, right? Because no vig, or it can be 7. And Fez is +105. So do either of you guys have a preference?
No.
I'd rather make it 6.5 so we have a result. Is that cool?
Good.
Yep. All right. So in this case, it's Brad's getting a quarter point less in theory, but you're getting the +105. Agreed?
Agree.
All right. And this is +550 in this case. Auto best bet. Ken, who do you like in this baby?
I just lean towards Appalachian State. The reason being, I love their defense. I think this team's real. But again, Brad makes great points as far as all the coaching changes and whatnot. And I do enjoy watching Stockstill. He's one of my favorite players. And I like the father-son combination. So it's a game that I lean to App State. I think they're a solid team. And like Fez was saying, they could easily be 12-0. They blew that Penn State game, the opener, and that tough game against Georgia Southern on the road against the option and all those turnovers. But I lean App State, but I'm probably going to be rooting for Middle Tennessee State. So I just hope it's a good game for both these guys.
You know, one thing I don't think about enough because I'm not doing it like you guys in college and putting the picks in is the idea that there's a fear. It's like, you got to have five picks and you don't have any idea if like two other people are going to be like, it's like, it's almost like a, there's a game show element to like, you got to be forced to bet. Meaning Fez, you didn't know this was Brad's best bet.
Oh, of course.
You gave a like, and now you've got a $500 bet on it.
Love it.
It's like even without your consent, it's like the gambling gods are bigger than even your consent.
And it's not even just a 500.
What were you saying, Ken?
I was going to say it's not even a guaranteed just 500 because RJ could turn around and press the green button himself.
You are so right. That's the only edge. I mean, let's be candid. I'm talking about swimming in sharp waters here. I don't know any college. I'm just reading people's eyes.
I'm a poker player.
I'm like playing a poker game. I'm playing triple draw lowball, and I don't even know the rules. All right, any closing thoughts? All right, last game. And last game actually is one of those, like we said, best bet, triple likes. Oh, wait a minute. Both Ken and Fez have the same best bet.
And Dave Esler.
And Esler, this is a triple best bet.
So this is I was underselling 1700 for RJ if he presses the button.
All right, Fez, you start.
All right. I think Fresno's awesome. I'm sure the other guys are going to talk about that. So let me talk about why I don't like Sparty and Michigan. I'm sorry, why I don't like Arizona State here. And it's all about Arizona State being overvalued. They went 4-1 in close games. And I want to talk about one game in particular. RJ, if you recall back in September when it was 100 degrees, Arizona State beat Michigan State at midnight Pacific time by the time that game ended. And that win against Michigan State was so about the schedule, so about the situation, and their luck continued all year long for Arizona
State. What was the line in that game?
The line on the game was Sparty -3, I believe.
No, like -6.
Didn't it drop all the way down?
You're just making stuff up, man.
Sparty was favored by less than a
I think it was like 7.5 and it went to 6.
Yeah, it went down to 6. But the,
okay. And they won the game.
Arizona State.
So the market won said 6.
Arizona State won the game.
I'm guessing at 6 you didn't bet it.
Because why?
Well, exactly. So even at 6, you could have got more down. You said, no, thank you. That line seems
no,
fair.
I think I would have even bet it back
well,
then.
Well, why didn't you? There was no hypothetical.
It was the best bet back in September where I was betting against Michigan State.
But what I'm saying is it's one thing. This is what I don't understand with you. Maybe you're right. The line, all things equal, should have been 7.5 Arizona State underdog. And then because of the situation, it should have went to 6. But when they win the game, they still won as a 6-point dog.
Well, I think the factors weren't, it wasn't priced enough. What a big advantage that was. We talked about that game.
Brad, were those numbers right?
Close 4.5.
So it did move more than a point.
And they still won the game.
Yeah, they were losing in the fourth quarter in Michigan State. The sweat was pouring off of them in the desert. And
that was why
midnight.
The line moved.
Yes, that's one of the reasons. So bottom line, Arizona State way overvalued. And I love Fresno. Bet big on Fresno.
Ken.
I was at the Las Vegas Bowl and I'll be there again this year. Last year, I watched Oregon rest Royce Freeman, their great running back. I watched them get destroyed by Boise State. It wasn't even a game. They got blown out. It was absolutely embarrassing if you're the Pac-12 school. I think you're going to have a similar situation. Look, Herm Edwards done a nice job there, but their best player, he's also sitting out. N'Keal Harry, this kid will be one of the top two wide receivers taken in the draft. Without him, Arizona State's going to be in trouble. He's their guy that really stretches the field, takes pressure off a pretty solid running game in Eno Benjamin. But without him, I think Manny Wilkins is going to be under duress. And Fresno State, they don't make mistakes. I mean, Ronnie Rivers, Mims, pretty good wide receiver, pretty good running backs. The wide receiver, Keyshawn Johnson, will set a Mountain West record with one reception for the most consecutive games with receptions. Jared Rice, keep an eye on this guy. He's another Kelsey type for the NFL. This kid will play at the next level. He's big time. He was key in the win against Boise State in overtime that helped them get to this game. I think Fresno State rolls. They got a heck of a defense led by another guy that'll play at the next level, and Jeff Allison, 121 tackles. He'll lead the way. Wilkins under duress. I think Fresno State rolls by double digits.
All right, Ken Thompson. Okay, in a second, we're going to have Brad. He likes the under, so an actual like on the total, but this is the third of the triple best bet, Dave Esler.
College football bowls, Saturday. I like Fresno over Arizona State, and here's just some of the reasons to like the Bulldogs. Fresno State brings 27 seniors to this game, 2 years removed from a 1-11 season, going for a school record 12th win. It matters to them. The Fresno defense hasn't allowed more than 20 points but once this season. In the nation, second in points per game, second in points per play, second in opponents' red zone scoring, fifth in opponents' completion percentage, which could matter against Arizona State. Reasons not to like Arizona State: N'Keal Harry skipping the game, going to the NFL. Guy had over 1,000 yards. What's important here, that's 600 more than their second leading wide receiver. They got a defense that's allowed 30 points per game in the last 5 games. Arizona State, when not in Sun Devil Stadium, 2-4 this year, with wins over SoCal and Arizona by a combined 4 points. Arizona State's had 3 weeks off, maybe some rust. Fresno just 2 after beating Boise, just like a bye week, more in rhythm. Fresno beat Houston, another up-tempo solid offense, last year in the Hawaii Bowl, and I think they'll put away a Pac-12 team that's been overrated most of this season. Fresno minus the points. I'd love to see what Ken Thompson has to say about his Bulldogs.
Well, we know now, triple best bet. And guys, that's the beauty. I mean, we're doing this stuff a week ahead. We're doing the advantages of their late releases. And if you just look, as hot as the boys have been, the college experts this year, the idea that, I mean, just long term, it's unequivocal. The late releases do better. So this offer, and it bears repeating, is there's a coupon, BOWL, B-O-W-L, 10-10. Use it on anything. That's good through Sunday. And then through Friday, this special, $149 for Brad or Ken, or $249 for both. So you're saving an extra chunk there, extra $50, plus you're saving your 10. By the way, Brad or Ken had a historic number of buys when we put out one of his packages maybe 6 weeks ago now. And he let us know 26 units. Ken, let me say this. We don't want you to sound, we don't want you to sound like Brad going overboard with this stuff. But but the fact is 26 units up for the people who bought then, and he was up big before that. Fez, you're pretty much betting his stuff. I mean, it's funny, usually with a public handicapper, you're going to be using it, but then sifting through other things. You bet a ton of Ken's stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I help Ken get down. He's so busy with his schedule. And I got to tell you, RJ, it seems like every time I see Ken Thompson, I'm handing him cash.
Well, listen, around these parts, that seems to be a common thing lately. I don't know. And somehow Fez is winning. Like, it's crazy. It just shows you the ebbs and flows of sports betting. Okay, Brad, first of all, you lean Fresno. Why not a like? And then tell us about the total you do like.
It should be a like on both. I just prefer the total more than the side. So actually double like Fresno State. The boys have talked me into it, but still prefer the under. Why? Arizona State, Ken mentioned it. N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver, out. I'm really concerned how Arizona State is going to manage points against a very consistent and a very good Fresno State defense. Number 2 in the country in scoring defense. Another couple points on why to like Fresno as well, besides the under. First bowl game for Herm Edwards. How does he prepare his team? Something totally unique to a guy that was coaching in the NFL.
Yeah, but there's another side to that, which is he's a master motivator, and the ability to motivate in these early bowl games matter.
Couldn't motivate his best player to play in the game.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you the last question for me. Do you feel like when a player sits out the bowl, obviously he's absent on the field, it feels like that could be a demotivator throughout the team? It's like our guy, like one of our brothers in arms isn't here.
Yeah. Ken brought up the great example. Oregon's running back sat out this very bowl game, Las Vegas Bowl last year, and Oregon didn't come to play. They didn't even feel like, and weren't motivated at all.
Quick question. We don't like Arizona State. We like the under. Should we be playing the Arizona State team total under 25 points?
Yes.
All right. Any last thoughts, Brad?
One other factor I do want to mention, Fresno State, Vegas, a lot of distractions. Fresno State played here earlier this year. Arizona State never plays in this town.
Listen, Brad, this is when he shines. He's shined the whole year. Follow him on Twitter, @BradPowers7. the mysterious seven. One day we'll find out. Fez, you can follow him at Fezzik Sports, F-E-Z-Z-I-K. Me?
His Twitter handle is at RJ in Vegas.
And remember, guys, check in the NFL. It's could be history. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Catch the Wise Guy Roundtable each week. College football released on Wednesday, NFL on Thursday. Don't miss any winners. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Visit PodcastOne.com and download the Podcast One app. Have a question for RJ? You can contact him directly on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Live the dream with us each week.